All right. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Of course, we love having Bruce on Saturday and Sunday. And he comes to us as we look through the window of baseball.
I love that
sort of metaphor that we use for Bruce because we do look through it with him. Brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice on Sunday morning. And they have their new store open in Monterey. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Doing well. It's still overcast out here by Half Moon Bay, but that's how we like it. A good 68 more consecutive days of gloom for us.
You got any centipedes running by your house?
No. That's the beauty of it. Not real deserty out here.
Now, do they have any beta breakers down there in Half Moon Bay or anything like that?
No, nothing of that magnitude. You know, thank God. I mean, we have enough weekend traffic as it is. I have people just piling out here. You know, they think it's going to be great. They get out here. It's all gloomy and overcast, but they're coming anyway. They love the beach.
Boy, you see something different at the park every day. And last night, of course, Lincecum gives up a couple of walks in the second inning, which is kind of expected here and there, all of a sudden out of the blue. But then Hicks hits one opposite field, Bruce, within about 2 feet of going out. It makes that thud off the wall. Looks like the Giants are back in the game. They're going to knock Kohler around, and he misses first base. How do you like that?
Yeah, you know, and that happens a lot more often than it gets noticed, I would imagine. There's always somebody, well, not always, but the Marlins had a guy who was just fixated on that. He was just waiting to be able to bust somebody, and he did. It wasn't quite conclusive, but, I mean, he definitely didn't land on the bag, and that Marlins guy got rewarded for his diligence.
I wasn't quite sure about when I read it in the paper. You read the same story I did. An administrative coach,
yeah.
And his only job is to watch and see if they touch the base. Is that possible?
Wow!
I can't imagine that's all that he does. I mean, that's absurd. But it'd be like you're in charge of when a squirrel hits the field. All right, you spring into action.
Hey, they had that in Cleveland last night. You see how they got rid of the squirrel?
Didn't he run off on his own? Or?
No, they started a broadcast of dogs barking.
And he got the heck out of there.
He wasn't waiting around to see where they were coming from.
I got a 20-gauge to get it done a little quicker, Marty.
This is a little more humane, but very funny. Hey, the other news, and we had fun with Ron Wotus this morning about it, really. You know, this whole replay and collision rules and all the different things that baseball has gone through, as I say, it's like the Internet changes every day. Tony La Russa said, you know something, this may be enough. I'm heading to Arizona. I'm going to head up that group, and you can keep the committee to yourself. And Tony La Russa ends up in Arizona. Bruce, your thoughts about it?
Well, in terms of leaving the job that he had, I think he's still going to be somewhat involved in the MLB decision-making. I read that somewhere. It sounds a little bit contrary, but just assume that he's backing off of that. I think there's a bit of relief there because the debates on both the plate collision and the replay are never going to end. I mean, you're never going to be able to satisfy people the way the replay thing is going, although it has been good in a lot of ways. And the plate collision thing is extremely difficult. I mean, in terms of blocking the plate, when you can do it, when you can't, you know, should you go all the way and just say you just can't block the plate at all unless it's completely unavoidable? And back and forth on whether the catcher is cheating, you know, getting his leg out there, blocking it when he doesn't have the ball and all these things. And it's just, there's no easy answer. That was evident from the very beginning. It's why it took him so long to dream it up in the first place. As far as him joining the Diamondbacks, you know, they've got La Russa and Dave Duncan now, but they're both like way in the background. You know, there's these two guys who combine for, you know, a lot of the knowledge that went behind the great A's success. And here they are in Arizona, sort of old, you know, older and a little longer in the tooth, but they're still involved, but not enough. To me, not enough to really make a difference. Now, when La Russa uncorks his first big trade, that's when we'll know, you know, how things are going there. But it's pretty interesting because a couple weeks ago, Kendrick, the guy who runs the team, said, you know, I think we're a little behind on this analytics stuff. You know, I think maybe hinting that maybe Kirk Gibson and Kevin Towers aren't—they're not quite attuned to all these modern stats. And here comes La Russa, who doesn't really care for stats at all. So, I don't know how that works.
No, it's going to be great. And you know, two things. One, just hold this thought for a second. The National League West may be the most interesting division in the National League for things that happen.
Yeah.
And I talk about that for a second. The second thing is with La Russa, Bruce. I had Nick Pecoro on last night. You know Nick from the Arizona Republic, and he was nice enough to come on last night and. I said, well, what do you expect? He says, we have no idea. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what he's going to do. We don't know what's going to happen with Kirk Gibson. I said, well, let me tell you something. The first time you have first and second, nobody out, and you're down by a run, and you think he's going to bunt, and they do a double steal, you know he's taken over the team.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the story with him. I mean, you know, he's going to do something unconventional, and you will see it, and you'll say, okay, that's that. Now, the third thing is, the owner, who's kind of a wild guy, Kendrick, I guess, says if we have to eat contracts, we'll eat contracts. We're not worried about it. So that leads me to believe in why not? Why would you bring La Russa in and not turn it over to him?
Yeah, I mean, it's an embarrassing situation for Kevin Towers, who had publicly said recently that he wondered if he's going to last the season. He just put it right out there. He's still there, but he kind of isn't now. I mean, I guess they feel like this is going to salvage the season, but I don't know. To me, it's just smacks of desperation, a total lack of focus, a lack of consistency and philosophy, and I guess they figure Tony's going to come in and magically change everything. Of course, they did get 18 runs.
Come on. Against who?
Against the Dodgers.
Which pitcher?
Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw, for heaven's sake. And if they get another 18 today, maybe there is something to this.
Right.
Well, Bruce, that leads me to my next question. Kershaw gives up 7 earned runs in 1 2/3. He had a balk, and he walked Cody Ross twice in a single inning. Is Kershaw done?
Well, he came off the layoff with a great start against Washington. 7 innings, no runs. It's like, oh, man, here we go. Then the Giants got into Dodger Stadium, and when Hicks homered off a curveball, I was like, my God, that hasn't happened in like the 2,000 at-bats or something. Somebody hit a curveball off Kershaw out of the park, so that was a little bit odd. And then this thing happened. He did have 5 days rest between before this start last night. Maybe that had something to do with it. But I think, you know, with the kind of back injury that he had, people kept saying, you know, don't bring this guy back too early. This is a thing that can linger and come back in some form or another. Maybe it's bothering him a little bit, but, I mean, last night they were hitting everything, and the curveball and everything else. So the Dodgers have to be concerned, and it's a little bit of a bright spot for the Giants fans.
Well, as I always say, the hitters will tell you what you have.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
Certainly
and
told
last night it was nothing. Yeah.
How about Goldschmidt? I think
two bombs.
He must have thought it was Lincecum. He must have said, is that Lincecum on the mound?
And John McCain.
They charged it to Lincecum.
Did you guys see Senator John McCain? He was doing Frankenstein in the crowd. He had the hands out. He was having a blast. And then there was a fan in the outfield that had his baby, his daughter, in his arms. And he reached up with a hand and caught a home run ball. It was the darndest thing out there yesterday. And that's the worst stadium environment maybe in the entire National League.
I like it.
Do you?
I like it.
Bruce Jenkins, you got to break the split between Marty and I. Chase Field, your thoughts?
Way too sterile for me. Every time the roof is closed, it's like there's just no atmosphere at all. They don't draw that well. You don't get a crowd buzz. I mean, it's perfectly pleasant. I mean, whether the roof's closed or on those great, you know, nights, spring and fall nights when it's nice outside, but there's nothing wrong with it. But I mean, you know, you have a pool out there, really. I mean, it's like the team. They don't know what the heck they're doing.
I like it. It's like being inside a pinball machine. I like that.
You like the Kiss Cam, right, Marty?
I like the pinball. The Kiss Cam is a little different.
Okay.
It's the Mesa RV. that's what they got. Hey, all right. The other thought I wanted to talk about, West Coast sports. And, Bruce, you look at the big picture many times. There's nothing like West Coast sports. You start in Seattle with the Seahawks and Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You work your way down here to the Raiders and the Warriors. What's going on? The A's and their madness through the American League and the stadium, the Giants, what they're doing. They're going to take over Sacramento next. They're marching in there next. You get what's going on here. You start going south, L.A. with the billionaires. You got the Clippers with Donald Sterling. You got the Angels and Artie Moreno. And then you head over to San Diego and everybody's sleeping.
Yeah.
And then you go to Arizona.
Cover the entire state.
Yeah, right. Then you go to Arizona, and here you got the La Russa thing. Bruce, you can look around the country. I think we've got it made here.
Well, yeah, we absolutely do. And then you get into the fall, and you got the college sports coming into it. It's crazy. But I think one thing we might be seeing late this season for the first time in a while is Dodgers, Giants, and Angels, A's, both being sort of central to the whole playoff picture. I mean, you know, the Angels are hanging in there pretty good. Yeah. They're getting some great pitching all of a sudden. Garrett Richards and C.J. Wilson and Skaggs is coming around, and, of course, they got the great lineup.
Weaver.
I think they're going to be there with the A's all year. And then, of course, Giants-Dodgers is just, you know, as good as it's ever been, really. It's certainly as interesting as it's ever been. And man, Puig is starting to be a total force now. He's cutting down on all the things that everybody was jumping all over him for. So, fabulous. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Wotus and I talked a little bit this morning about maybe the disappearance of many, many 300 hitters. And these guys are down at the end of the bat. They're trying to hit it away. The strikeouts are up. The swings and misses are up. The shift is dealing with it. The cutters and all the crazy pitchers and pitches that they throw. 300 hitter Bruce, who likes to play pepper and sort of use the whole field, is that going to become a thing of the past?
Well, no.
Okay.
No, I don't see the death of the 300 hitter. I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on. I mean, some of these shifts, I mean, the way the Marlins have been playing, you're up there looking at the, boy, if I can dead pull this thing, my God, I could run all day, you know, and it seems so radical that you want to challenge it, but it takes a guy like Rod Carew or Wade Boggs to actually say, I'm going to hit the ball right there, you know. For most guys, it's like, I've got to get a specific pitch to screw up this shift. And all, if it's all of a sudden it's 1-2, you can't afford to be thinking that way anymore. So it definitely messes with guys' heads. You know, dropping the bunt is a great way to confound everybody. You might even get a double out of it. But then again, pride comes into it and says, well, I'm not going to drop a bunt. How about if I just drill a line drive through all you chumps, you know? So, but you mentioned pepper. I really miss the side of guys playing pepper, and I had one story I never forget from around 1962 or 63. I was at a ball game at Dodger Stadium with a friend of mine. We really liked the Braves, and Hank Aaron was down there playing pepper with, like, you know, Warren Spahn and Johnny Logan or something. And Aaron's just showing a complete magic with the bat as he just taps the ball to each specific guy. And finally, he must have known we were down there looking at him. He just floated. He tapped one and floated one right to us with a little flick of the bat. I mean, and pepper gives you such a feel for the bat. And he just, there was no accident. He just said, here, guys, take this. And it was like a dandelion coming out of the sky. You couldn't drop it, you know.
Amazing. Yeah, I love, Wotus said that this morning. He said that's the way you learned how to control the bat.
Yeah, the worst sign in baseball is no pepper.
Yeah, no pepper. You know why it's no pepper? Because they don't want to mess the grass up.
Yeah, now salt is okay.
Yeah, that's right. You can put that on the base paths and slow people down. Yeah. But no, you can't. That's and it's because of the grounds crew. That's the deal. They don't want to mess up the grass.
A real shame.
Yeah, really. Hey, looking at the ball club here, and of course we're at the quarter pole. What do you think? I kind of analyze. I say maybe the starting pitching just isn't clicked in yet, but everything else looks pretty good.
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Pagan's got to come out of this thing okay. I think that he is. I don't know if you guys have heard any news on that yet.
Jam shoulder, not in the lineup.
Yeah. Well, he banged that shoulder pretty good on the great catch that he made two nights ago. I think it was a smart move to hit. He'll go in with his shoulder. It's about as, you know, safe a landing as you're going to get in that situation. But it probably did bang it up a little bit. Then he comes back and hurts it again. Let's just say that he's out for just a day or two and everything's fine. I mean, I think the club's great. They got power. They got a lot of spirit. They're totally fun to watch. The bullpen's great. You got Bochy and Rigetti and, you know, Wotus and Flannery and all the boys. And the rotation is good. It's certainly not perfect. But in this division, everybody's a little nicked up. Everybody's got their flaws. And I just see them being, you know, definitely in it. All the way.
Yeah.
I see them in the postseason, really.
Yeah, why not? They'll do something July 31st. I'll guarantee you that if there's a hole. They will take care of business this year because they know they can win.
Sure.
They can do it. Hey, one last thought for Bruce. Today is jrgiants.org, the Junior Giants glove drive.
Yep.
And we talked about this yesterday about getting gloves with autographs of major leaguers, you know, like you used to buy, you know, you had the Wally Moon glove and all that. So we did a little research. The companies do not want the gloves autographed anymore because the people who buy it could care less. Unless you're under the age of 12 and you may want a Derek Jeter glove.
I got you.
They're looking for the quality of the glove and what it feels like. And they could care less if it's a, you know, a Reggie Jackson glove or, well, that, you know, belt
that,
glove.
That's just not true. I mean, thanks to my daughter playing sports and our friends with some of the younger kids, I've been watching a lot of youth sports, a lot of youth baseball. And, you know, this one kid can't live unless his glove's signed by Saltalamacchia. You know, I mean, he lives in Hanford Bay, and Saltalamacchia is his guy. You know, I mean, that lives on, believe me. I mean, what could be better than having a major leaguer, you know, his name on your glove? I totally don't get that.
That's got to be a massive glove, bigger than the one in left field to get Saltalamacchia on there.
take a look at New York Times. I guess there's an article this morning. Yeah. I guess it's the pre-prepared gloves and, you know, the stamp of the name on there. They could care less unless you're under the age of 8.
All right.
All right. What's up today for you? You sound like you're in a good mood.
Good mood. You know, got the Giants coming up. Going to hear a little music down the way in Half Moon Bay. A friend of mine's playing in a local club, and all good on the coast side. No sunshine, but all good.
That doesn't sound too bad, does it, Marty?
All right, Bruce. Thanks so much. Talk to you when the Twins are in next weekend.
Yeah, I wish that kid Buxton had made a bigger splash. He's been hurt. I thought maybe we might even get a chance to see him at this stage of the season. Maybe the best prospect in baseball, but he's been injured. He's a long way from the bigs right now, but that'll be fun.
Yeah, the second baseman looks like Dozier. He's got all sorts of numbers. I saw that the other day. So.
Yeah, a little different. Why not?
Yeah, plus we got Bert Blylevin and Dan Gladden here. Yep. There's nothing
wrong
with that.
There you go.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Thank you.
Right on, Bruce.
Thank you.
All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.